The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. This is episode 80. I am Stephen Mill. He is Ewan Cameron. How are we doing this morning, Ewan?
Not too bad. Should we not celebrate hitting the 80th podcast of the show? Because that's
nice... octogenarians now.
We're what?
Octogenarians. That's what they call people in their 80s. You should know you'll be heading for that fairly soon. Closer than me.
Octa to what?
Octogenarians.
Sounds like a baddie from a James Bond movie.
A wee bit, yeah. But...
So yes, the 80th episode, I mean, I genuinely thought when I was asked to do a podcast with Stephen Mill, I gave it 10 at most, so here we are on episode 80.
I know.
And it has grown a bit of a following.
Yeah, it has.
It has, and it's doing very well around the globe.
We get lots of correspondence from all around the globe every single week, actually. Yeah. I mean, lots of people just moaning about your movie reviews, as per usual.
Well talking to movie reviews...
Oh, God, there's not another one, is there? In fact, on last week's show, True Blue 1872, I think he might be a Rangers fan, says, don't want to experience the sad dance ever again. My eyes couldn't take that. And there was also another comment from Gordon Pringle. Please stop Ewan's movie reviews. I stupidly thought it'd be a good idea to watch his last review, Anyone But You, with my girlfriend. Complete pish. Cannot believe Ewan watched the film when he's Jack Jones. What a sad old man.
I had an empty. Yeah. I was flicking through the channels.
And you decided to watch that.
It was not a bad movie. It was watchable. It's never going to win any awards.
Aldo RFC, I think also might be a Rangers fan. Surely you need to put Ewan's movie questions in the Scottish football bin.
We'll get to Scottish football bin shortly.
That's coming back later in the show. Yeah.
That is coming back. But first, talking of movies, I don't have a movie review this week.
Great news.
But, producer Dan, go and play the music for me, please. Movie music. Press that button, mate. Producer Dan, he's new here because John's off.
He's not new. He's not a.
You need to turn this music off. It's on right now.
There we go. Turn that off and then turn that on. And then here we go. The movie music is. Yep. It's just. Is that it? Is that it there?
No, it's not.
Is that it there?
No.
Can you direct him? So just a wee bit behind the scenes, we can see what producer Dan can see. And it's like a sort of like a big. Sort of bank of keys that he can press.
Is that what you wanted?
Right. We'll get there eventually. Is it this one?
Just fire off bed. You'll find it.
That's Rocky.
That's Rocky.
That's Millionaire.
Try something else, mate.
Yeah, try something else. That's Family Fortunes. What about? That's Family Fortunes. That's the correct one. Yeah. That's the noise after Ewan tells his movie reviews. Because nobody's interested and switched off. What about... try this.
I'm going to get up another
loop. Right, so...
Film 2000 theme. There you go.
All right, okay, we found out, right. We'll get there eventually. It's fine. It's a more relaxed show today anyway because there's not as much to talk about because it was only really the Scotland game.
Aye. And so you can bring the volume down on the music. And today's film review is not from yours truly because before the show started and before you arrived, because you got stuck in traffic
here,
I was in the hallway with producer Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And producer Dan says, oh, Ewan. I went to see a movie last night, and this is a movie I am desperate to see. There's a lot of hype surrounding this movie. It got a lot of good reviews when it was revealed at the Sundance Movie Festival.
Aye.
And producer Dan went to see the movie last night.
Right, just to give you a wee bit of background here, okay? So producer Dan is the producer of the show that Gary Spence and I do on a weekday. He has given me several film reviews before, and... like, every single one of them have been shite.
Well, this movie...
like, I just want to caveat that. His taste in films is appalling.
Well,
if it's like a Czech film that's all in subtitles and black and white, that's his sort of film.
Well, this is not that film.
Right, okay.
This is a film that's got a lot of hype surrounding it. The reviews for it so far have been excellent.
And if you like a film, Dan won't like it.
He
prefers Toy Story 2. To Toy Story 3 and stuff like that.
He wants to go against the grain.
Exactly. Right. He always wants to be different.
Right. But this movie, producer Dan went to see, and the movie is called what, Dan?
It's called Late Night with the Devil.
Late Night with the Devil. This is a horror movie. Right. It's based on a talk show in the 1970s.
Okay.
And this is a movie that I'm really hyped to see. You went to see it last night. Producer Dan, please give us a brief synopsis of what you thought of the movie and whether or not you recommend it to those listening.
It's very good. It's very original. You won't have seen anything like it before.
See.
It's because you think that these kind of possession films have been done.
Yeah.
You've not seen them done like this, though.
So we've all seen the possession films, like Your Exorcist of This World, The Omen and all that, but apparently this is very different to those types of movies, and it's about a talk show in the 1970s, and you're watching it from their perspective as a live talk show, and I cannot wait to see it. So out of 10, Producer Dan, what would you give it?
An eight and a half.
That's quite an accolade, yeah, but I will warn you that Dan Stacey Films is absolutely shite.
And what I will also recommend to you is Three Body Problem, which is on Netflix.
Now, I was going to start watching that last night on Netflix.
Watch it.
Well, I was between that and I started watching the one with Kit Harington in it. What's it called? Oh, it's about like Oliver Cromwell and stuff like that. I started watching that instead.
Watch Three Body Problem. It's from the creators of Game of Thrones. It is outstanding. Okay. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay, that's fine. You also recommended another thing for me to watch on Netflix, and in true Ewan Cameron style, just told me what it was all about. So that's what you did, remember, at the
on
weekend.
Saturday.
On Saturday, yeah.
You're I
like,
didn't
you got to bed with the plane crash. And I was like, no, I've not got to bed with the plane crash yet, Ewan. So thanks very much. Uh-huh. Right, anyway, on to some of your correspondence for last week's show. So thank you very much. I've gone through some of them already.
By the way, do you believe in possession?
No. Ross Blue, 197. Ewan is taking the piss. Way too long to answer one question. My God, pull your teeth out material. While what a hypocrite, he says. Genuinely going to put me off the show. If you don't
answer, who's that?
That's Ross Blue.
Oh, shut up, Ross. And do you know what? There was controversy surrounding last week's quiz, and we'll get to that near the time.
We will get to that. And by the way, lots of people having a go at me. I don't write the questions, mate.
Let's not address it just now. We'll get to it because I'm fucking raging. I think that serious questions need to be asked about the quiz going forward and previous quizzes that have happened.
Oh, shut up. Right. Anyway, let's move on to more correspondence. A man with a very stupid name, Duncan McKerricker, says Stephen is a bore if he doesn't like films or international Scotland rugby. I never said I didn't like films. I just said I didn't want to do a film podcast. I like films. It would be weird if I didn't like films. And rugby's shite, as I've said before. Stu Wilson says, give Ewan a 1 minute time limit for every question. This is getting ridiculous. Feel sorry for Stephen. Are we going to do a time limit, actually? We did discuss that last week. I think there does need to be a minute time limit. So, Producer Dan, between now and when we do the quiz, you need to find a minute timer. You'll find one on the system somewhere. You don't need it for just now. But I think we need to control this because it's getting out of hand. There was a question last week you took about 7 minutes to answer.
See your exaggeration.
Paul Boville says, there's no way Ewan blocked me on Twitter for telling him to go learn how to cook rice. Did you spit the dummy? Because obviously, famously, you can't cook rice. Did you block people for saying...
No. What happened is, I know the tweet that he's referencing.
Yeah.
And he was ripping the piss out of me not being able to cook rice.
Aye.
And what I went to do was to mute him.
Right. So he'd got under your skin so much.
Because he slagged my rice cooking.
Yeah, because you can't cook rice.
Right. But we follow each other as well.
Right.
But I blocked him instead of muting him because it was at the time when I was getting the absolute piss ripped out of me and I just had enough. And I wanted to, what I wanted to do was mute the conversation, but I muted him. But instead of muting him, I blocked him. He then contacted me on Facebook privately and he went, really, Ewan, you've blocked me? For slagging you off for not being able to cook rice. I went, I'm not blocked yet. And I'd actually blocked him.
So you're unblocked.
Unblocked him and I followed him again.
Okay.
Sorry, Paul, it was an accident, mate.
Cameron CCFFFCC4226. Not sure if that's his real name. He says, 1:36:31, timestamp to get through the rubbish, but you're very good. Very good, Cameron. Lots of chat about Christian tits last week. Wee Scottish guy says, I've never heard the word tits said so much in a video. Obviously, you watch different videos from Ewan and I. Aaron Wheeler says, great conversation about Christian tits. I'm more of a Nicky Butt man myself, but each to their own. Key McLeod says, Ewan opens phone. There's Mr. Tits. He actually just opened the front camera. Very good.
Aye.
Yeah. Davey Pops on Twitter. I often have to explain Scottish banter and Scottish jokes to my American wife, but when she got in the car, just as Stephen says, I'd like to see dick go up against tits, it was difficult to explain. Sorry about that, Davey. And Gordo says, important to keep us abreast of the tits situation. We will have a tits update later on in the show. Lots of people chatting about Wet, Wet, Wet as well. Alan Neal says, Popped Out in Soul is a massively underrated album by Wet, Wet, Wet. I can't remember how this came up. We were trying to discuss. Oh, Shirley Carter.
Yes.
We were trying to decipher her family tree last week. So Andy Taker says, Mick Carter was originally introduced as Shirley Carter's brother. Not long after his introduction, Shirley's son Dean is reintroduced. And after a few months of being close with each other, Mick is revealed to actually be Shirley's older son rather than her brother. This is only revealed by Shirley as Mick is about to kill Dean for what he did to his wife, Linda. Heather was just Shirley's best mate, never actually related to her. Thank you, Andy.
Wait. Shirley is the mother...
of Danny Dyer.
The character that Danny Dyer plays.
According to Andy.
Are they not like the same age?
No, Shirley's older. I mean, it might have been a young pregnancy. You know, she might have been 16 or something.
So that was a big reveal in an episode of EastEnders. He was about to kill somebody, and then she goes... Don't kill him!
Yeah, so
don't kill him because you're my son!
Something like
I'm your mother!
So, Linda Henry, or Henry, I should say, is the character. And in real life, she is 64. And Danny Dyer would be much younger than that. Danny Dyer!
Don't kill him! You're my son!
Danny Dyer's only from the West Country, apparently.
That was a Cockney accent.
No, it wasn't. Danny, my lover. Danny Dyer is 46.
All right, okay.
So if Shirley had Danny when, or had Mick when she was only 18,
yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. So that makes sense then.
Okay, right. So
don't kill him!
You can always leave your
comments. You're my son!
On Twitter, my lover. On YouTube, leave your comments as always. That's great.
Can I just say...
I'm Big Football Scott as well.
You know
Twitter.
The boy whose message you read out there who's married to the American woman?
Yes.
Well, they live in the United States.
Okay.
And he follows me on Twitter. And right. Every now and then I do see his posts on Twitter.
Davey Pops.
Davey Pops. And I think, if memory serves me right, his missus is not an award-winning... But
no, she's not that good.
No, she wins competitions, I think, for bodybuilding.
Right, but she's not that good at it. She's not award-winning. She's just
No.
She's mediocre at it.
No, Stephen, see, you're going to get me into trouble now.
Well, you said she's award-winning. No. She's not award-winning.
No, wait.
She's a shite bodybuilder.
No. I don't know if she's a bodybuilder either. Hold on.
Can only apologise, Davey, for you and slagging your wife for being a shite bodybuilder.
I didn't.
Well, you said she wasn't award-winning.
I can tell you right now.
So what is she, middling? Is she like, you know...
Hold on.
Is she like, I don't know, the Motherwell of... dropped your microphone there, Ian.
So, right, okay, let me just read this out. This was 2 days ago, Davey tweeted this. Jess, who is his wife...
Right.
...is 3 weeks out from her next competition. Last year was...
She'll probably finish 12th, so it doesn't matter. It's no point turning up, Jess, according to Ian.
Last year was the rookie year, so this year she's coming in leaner, longer, and in better shape than ever.
Okay.
The show is an Oklahoma regional show to get prepped for nationals later in the year, determined to get the pro card. So she's building up to the pro card, and that's Jess. And she's looking fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, she's looking like, I don't know, a sort of 14th place finish or something like that, would you
say, Ewan? Davey, I didn't say that.
You brought her in as an award-winning bodybuilder and then went, no, actually, she's shite at it.
Jess, I think you're going to get your pro licence eventually.
Jess, I think you look great. Yes. So there you go. You look great, Jess. So there you are. Right. At Big Football Scott, that is our Twitter feed. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram as well. And obviously, you can search for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. That's how you find us. And we're on YouTube. You can leave your comments there. We'll get to the best ones next week. Remember, I'm here next week on Easter Monday.
So am I.
I know, that's fine. But then the following week, I'm off. So you'll have to find... In fact, the following 2 weeks, I'm off.
What?
That's it. No, sorry, I'm only missing one.
You're missing the second week of the Easter holidays?
Second week.
Are you going somewhere?
I am. I'm going to Atlanta. I'm going to a bodybuilding competition. I'm in great shape, so I'm hoping for top 50 finish, just okay. Like Jess. So, right, okay, let's go on to the football. So Scotland humped by Holland on Friday night. I don't think that tells the entire story, to be perfectly honest with you. I think for 60, 65, 70 minutes, we were pretty decent.
Yeah.
I thought we controlled the game for large spells as well, created some brilliant chances, brilliant save from the goalkeeper, the Dutch goalkeeper, from Christie with a header in the first half. McTominay with a great chance, Christie with another great chance, McGinn had a couple of efforts as well, and of course Shanklin should have scored, and 99 times out of 100 would have scored. Yeah. Didn't though. And then I think the big key is
substitutions.
It's what we've learned is, I think our starting 11 looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Can compete with most teams.
Yeah.
As soon as we start making changes, we took off Gilmore, took off Kieran Tierney, took off Christie, who I thought was fantastic.
Took off Shankland.
And we felt a wee bit.
Yeah,
we felt a bit in spectacular fashion because Holland romped on and won 4-0 in the end.
We collapsed.
Yes.
When we were 1-0 down.
What was interesting as well, so you put out a tweet praising Billy Gilmore after the game. I put out a tweet praising Gilmore and Christie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said, I still think we're desperately, I only wish we had a really top quality striker, because
I think
we'd cause, but just the replies on your one and the replies on my one, it was really interesting, because the people who thought that Billy Gilmore is shite and didn't have a good game on Friday night, they all happened to support one team who play in green and white in Glasgow. So that was really interesting. And they were saying he wouldn't lace Callum McGregor's boots, etc, etc, etc. Even though you hadn't even mentioned Callum McGregor.
No, I didn't.
In your tweet, you were just saying how well Billy Gilmore played. And it was really funny as well. Like, all the people who were saying it was a terrible result and Steve Clarke should be sacked and we haven't won in 6 matches and all the rest of it, they all supported one team in Glasgow who played in blue, I believe. And then it was really funny with me as well, because I said, I think we desperately need a striker. And all the people who replied to me saying, we've already got a striker, his name's Lauren Shankland, they all supported a team in Edinburgh who played in Maroon.
Uh-huh.
So it was really interesting that on Friday night.
A divided nation.
Yes.
When it came to reaction to the Scotland game on Friday night. Now, normally, with such a bad result, I would be very negative and I would be all over it like a rash, having a pop at the manager, having a pop at the team. But I think, as you were saying, there are far more positives than negatives. In that first 65 minutes, we were lucky not to be level, if not ahead, in the game. I thought we were very good.
Kill
that music, it's doing my head in now.
Aye, take the music off. Virgil van Dijk even said after the game, he was like, that wasn't a 4-0 game.
Ronald Koeman said it as well.
Yeah.
And he actually said that Scotland should have been in front before they'd scored their goal. And fair play to Ronald Koeman, he called it as he saw it.
Yeah.
Here's what I will say on this, right? And I think you made a really good point. Is that, see, when Scotland have got their best 11 out there, I think we have a decent team who have a decent chance of causing problems. The problem that we've got, when we do get those chances, if we don't score them, eventually the quality in other team are going to punish us. And that's what happened on Friday night. It would have been really interesting had Shankland scored that goal when he had that massive opportunity, because we were all saying ahead of the game, if you want a chance to fall to anyone, it would be Lauren Shankland. And as soon as he went through and goal, I was already at my seat. I thought this is in the back of the net.
Yeah.
And when he hit the bar, I couldn't believe it. I mean, he was shocked. If I'm Steve Clarke tomorrow night, I'm putting Lauren Shankland in from the start, because I think he doesn't make that mistake again. I think the boy's confidence will have been dented playing for Scotland after that.
Mm-hmm.
Put him straight. Be a good manager. A good man manager. Say, I believe in you, because I thought his overall game was very good.
Well, Steve Clarke actually was asked about Shankland and the miss and all the rest of it, and he was like, to be honest, yeah, it was he missed it. That's fine. Strikers miss chances all the time. But I'm more interested in how he played otherwise. And, you know, I was trying to wind you up on Friday night, but I actually agree. I thought Shankland showed that he's matured as a player. His link-up play is so much better than it used to be. And I think that Steve Clarke basically said to Lauren Shankland, if you want any chance of starting at the Euros, you have to go out and show and provide what Shea Adams usually does for the
team.
Because I think we can all agree Shea Adams is a pretty decent player.
He's a better player overall.
He's good at running the channels and he's good at holding it in. He has other stuff to his game. He doesn't have the goal scoring instinct of what Lauren Shankland has. But I thought Shankland played pretty well on Friday night. And yeah, we'll be mega disappointed with the chance that he missed. But I think overall, like going back to what I said in my tweet, I just wish we had a player of the calibre of Billy Gilmore, but he was a striker.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what we're missing.
Yeah.
Much as I like Shanklin.
When you watch Lauren Shanklin, right, he was 2 inches from having the game of his life and being praised left, right and centre. Had he scored mm-hmm. that goal, because his overall play up to that point was very good, all he needed to do was to crown that off with a goal and he could be man of the match.
Yeah.
But that's the difference between being amazing to then getting a wee bit of criticism. I thought the criticism of Scotland overall was bang out of order. I did see a lot of Scotland fans who were unhappy, who were embarrassed, who are now worried about the Euros. What I would say to that is this, is I think as much as I loved the result against Spain when we beat them 2-0 a year ago, we've made a rod for our own back because of that result.
Mm-hmm.
But every now and then, you are going to get a result like that. You are going to beat the best of the best. And we did it. But I think what we've done is that we've jumped ahead of ourselves. And I think our expectations have been raised because of that. I think we need temporary expectations going into the Euros. I still think we qualify from the group, but I don't think it will be as easy as some were suggesting before the game against Holland. And I think that result against Spain has got us thinking, not only are we going to get out of the group, who will we get in the last 16? Could we get to the quarterfinals? Now, we've all been guilty of that. And I'm one of them. We sat here when the draw was made and going through it, going, do you know what? If we were to finish second in the group, we could do that. And if we were to top the group, we could do that. I think the Holland result, because of the quality that they've got, Germany have got similar quality. But what I would say about Germany and Holland and how Scotland played on Friday night, we're not making those changes in the 65th minute.
No, we're not taking off Kieran Tierney. We're not taking off Billy Gilmore.
We're not taking off possibly Shanklin or Shea Adams or whoever it might be.
If that's a proper competitive match, that's not happening.
It's not happening. So
Steve Clark said afterwards, he was like, the only reason I did that is I wanted Lewis Ferguson to get some minutes as well. So, you know, that's why he made the changes.
We've still got a great chance of getting out of that group at the Euros, but I think I'll just temper it a wee bit. And I'm still a wee bit worried about Germany in that opening game because I watched them against France. And again, like Holland, they might not be the best team, but they've got individual brilliance.
I thought Germany, particularly the second half against France, looked very good.
Kroos had them, he had them ticking.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, the opening match, especially with Kroos being back as well, is going to be really tough. But I think, as you rightly pointed out, we're not making those kind of substitutions in a competitive match. That's not happening. So I think another area, a couple of areas actually, just very quickly, goalkeeping. Now, Angus Gunn came back in. He came in with some criticism, or he came in for some criticism, I should say, for the first goal. I thought it was a cracking finish, but I do think he was a wee bit slow in getting over.
He was.
He did make a cracking save, started the second half, kept us in it at that stage anyway.
Oh, from Memphis Depay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So... like, it was good and bad for Gunn. You've got Craig Gordon sat on the bench. Like, what's Steve... I mean, I think we know what Steve Clark's going to do. I think that Angus Gunn is going to be starting in game.
But here's the problem, right, that we've got.
But is that the correct decision?
Here's a problem that we've got. I think that Craig Gordon, for me, is the best goalkeeper that Scotland have got just now.
But he's not getting a game for Hearts.
But he's not... That's what I'm saying. How can he jump ahead of Xander Clark and Angus Gunn?
Mm-hmm.
He's not playing for Hearts, but when he does play for Hearts, and he has played in a few cup games, he's been brilliant.
So he looks like he's going to be Hearts cup keeper. So he's got one game left this season.
No, he's got two games left this season. He's got the semi-final against Rangers, then he's got a final against Aberdeen to look forward to, because that's what the final will be, Hearts versus Aberdeen. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that nearer time. I think Steve Clark has got a wee bit of a headache. And if I am Steve Clark, and this is a really tough choice for him to make... I would start Gordon tomorrow against Northern Ireland.
What's he gaining from that, though? Because he knows what Craig Gordon can do. Is it just to give him minutes?
I think it's just to give him minutes. And maybe it is to see, do I go with him at the Euros? Is there a doubt there over Gunn?
And, well, the thing is, if there is a doubt over Gunn...
Does he have that doubt? Because let's be honest. Craig Gordon, he was our number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before he got injured. And he's never let us down. And he's an outstanding goalkeeper.
He's also...
he's a great shot stopper.
40 or 41 years old. So he can't go on forever.
I know, but could this be his swan song? Let me ask you. Is Craig Gordon Scotland's best goalkeeper? As it stands right now, would you suggest he's our best goalkeeper?
If
he's experienced, everything he brings...
To be fair, I've only seen him in a couple of matches because he's only played cup matches, but if he's up to the same level as what he was before he got injured, then yes. But
would you play him against Northern Ireland tomorrow?
I don't know, because I think Steve Clark's got a wee bit of decision here. Because if there is a doubt over Gunn, does he drop him and then dent his confidence going for, you know what I mean? Like, it's a difficult one to play there. Or does he double down and say, Gunn's my number one?
Right, or does he say to Gunn, we know what you can do. See, tomorrow I'm going to give Gordon and Xander a half each.
Yeah, possibly.
Or he goes, Gordon, you're playing this game tomorrow, and Xander, you'll play against Finland in the next game. I don't know how he goes about it.
Yeah.
Listen, I think he's got a question to answer there. So how many positions are nailed down for Scotland for that opening game against Germany?
I mean, I
Go and get that bit of paper there and write it down. So who's in goal?
I think Gunn's going to start.
Right, so Gunn's in goal.
I think Gunn's going to start.
Who's your back three?
So Tierney's going to start.
Left centre back.
I think Porteous starts, pretty much.
Hanley. I like Hanley. A no-nonsense defender.
He likes Hendry, though. And I think he'll play Hendry.
You think he goes with Hendry and Porteous?
I think he goes with the back three that started the other night. Another area I was just going to get onto, actually, was the right-hand side. Nathan Patterson's obviously not playing much for Everton.
He's not.
I thought he looked like a wee bit of a weak link on Friday night.
I think he's good going forward.
I think defensively...
issues.
Yeah. I know Aaron Hickey has been out since October for Brentford. I think he's due to be beginning training in the next couple of weeks. So hopefully that's enough time to get him fit for the Euros.
Yeah.
Because I do think Hickey will make a massive difference if he's in that team. And
if he is back, he needs to then play in the two friendlies that are coming up after Northern Ireland.
I would imagine he would. I would, and then
so let's say Hickey's fit. Let's
say everybody's fit.
Okay.
I think Hickey starts on the right hand side, and obviously Robertson on the left hand side. Midfield is an interesting one. McGinn is in there, obviously.
McTominay's in there.
McTominay will be in there. That leaves what?
Well, you've got Gilmore, McGregor, Christie, Jack,
Ferguson. I think it's two of those five. Now, we don't know what McGregor's like in terms of injury.
His form's not been good this season.
It's not been up to Callum McGregor's usual standards, but then he is Callum McGregor. I do think he's great at controlling the games. I don't think Gilmore and McGregor can play with each other.
No.
They played with each other at the Scotland-England game.
Didn't work.
Hooked Gilmore at half-time, and we actually played better in the second half.
Yeah.
I think you play Gilmore or you play McGregor. That's a huge decision. Mm-hmm. You know, that is a huge decision.
If it's based on form this season, then it's Gilmore. And based on his performance against the Dutch, where he ran the midfield, he was easily the best player on the pitch. Gilmore gets that spot. But you know, and I've said on this podcast for over a season now, he was my player of the year last year, was Callum McGregor. I love the boy, and he's never let Scotland down. And you saw it at Tynecastle, they missed him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally, yeah.
Though he might not be in his best seasons at Celtic, they still miss him when he's not there.
I think it's a problem, though, because whenever he has played Gilmore and McGregor together, I don't think they play particularly well. Maybe it was just that Scotland-England game, and it was the way England played and stuff like that.
But you know what I would say about that is that no matter who he goes with, you've got quality coming off the bench. You could swap them whether after 60 minutes or whatever. If Gilmore's not in the best game, if he starts, you've got McGregor you can bring on.
I think as well,
Christie has to start.
I think Christie starts.
Yeah, I think Christie starts. He offers so much.
And then up front,
it's between Shankland and...
It's Adams or Shankland.
Yeah.
It's Adams or Shankland, and I think that remains to be seen. So I think no matter what happens, I think injuries aside, I think that will be not far away from the starting lineup.
His big decision is Gilmore or McGregor for Germany.
And up front, Shankland or Adams.
Yeah, and I think that he will make that decision based on the friendlies that are coming up. And when McGregor gets back, now I don't know what his injury situation
hopefully
is.
Hopefully McGregor is back, firing on all cylinders,
and ready
playing
for those
really
two
well.
Friendlies.
Precisely, yeah. So fingers crossed that's the case.
But see that starting 11, whether it be McGregor or Gilmore, Shanklin or Adams, it's a brilliant 11. The other question I think he might have to answer is possibly Porteous or Hanley.
Yeah, Hanley obviously pulled out the squad.
Yeah.
McKenna's sort of...
There or thereabouts.
He pulled out as well. I think Porteous will play. He seems to like Porteous. Mm-hmm.
He's a defender's defender, isn't
he? He's good in the air, he's strong, he's big. And that's why, like, you know, McGinn and McTominay will always play now. Not just because I think he's a really good player, but I think he brings physicality to the team.
Yeah.
So I think McTominay is a definite starter. So he's got a few things to think about in terms of the midfield. Obviously, Northern Ireland tomorrow night. should be...
Have to beat them. It's a must-win for us tomorrow.
Should be a fairly straightforward win.
Well, you say Scotland. That. I watched the highlights of Northern Ireland versus Romania.
I looked at their team and I thought, you know, at the start, remember on Pro Evo when you got like a fake team at the start?
Yes.
That looked like the Northern Ireland team. And then there was about two folk. I was like, who the fuck are they? No disrespect to Northern Ireland, even though massively disrespecting them there. I think that Scotland should be putting 2-3 past Northern Ireland.
Well, weirdly, I watched them, as I said, highlights of that game, just the highlights, so it's like 3 minutes of highlights. They were okay. They took the lead against Romania away.
It was the boy who plays with Stevenage.
And he made his debut at the age of 29 and he scored a good goal. Michael O'Neill is in charge. And what Michael O'Neill has done with Northern Ireland, he's got a structure there. They're difficult to beat. And I think it'll be an interesting game for us tomorrow because they're going to sit off us.
Yeah.
So can we break them down? But will Michael O'Neill be the manager of Northern Ireland tomorrow night? Because the talk is that he is, and I'm quoting here, that he's willing to speak to Aberdeen. Although, having said that, though, did we not hear at the weekend from
so that
a source?
Tits is out.
Well, did we not hear at the weekend from our sources, despite what the newspapers are reporting today, that Michael O'Neill is way too expensive for Aberdeen?
So, yes, we were led to believe...
Don't name names.
No, of course not. But we were led to believe that Michael O'Neill is on an excellent salary at Northern Ireland.
Huge.
Upwards of probably what Steve Clarke is getting at Scotland. And remember...
If not more.
Remember, that was the reason why he turned down the Scotland job a few years ago, because, what was the guy's name? Stuart Regan went over to Northern Ireland to meet him and all the rest of it. Went to... I think he lives in Edinburgh, actually, now. But he went to...
It was Edinburgh.
Went to meet him.
Yeah.
And Michael O'Neill was like, well, why would I take a pay cut to join Scotland?
Like, it was like half of what he was earning.
So Michael O'Neill is on a lot of money at Northern Ireland and he's got a 5-year contract as well.
Yes.
So I think the chances of Aberdeen appointing Michael O'Neill as manager is next to nothing.
Unless Dave Cormack digs deep and gives him what he's getting at Northern Ireland.
Unless, maybe, because obviously Derek McInnes was on a lot of money when he was at Aberdeen
as
well.
He wasn't on that though. What we heard he was on, what Michael O'Neill's on, he wasn't. McInnes wasn't on that.
After he turned down the Rangers and the Sunderland jobs, I believe he was.
Oh, do you?
Yes. So I think...
So the money's there then?
Of course the money's there. Dave Cormack's worth like £400 million or something. So the money is there, but I don't think Aberdeen are willing to spend it on Michael O'Neill.
No.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I would agree with you.
And I'm saying that partially because I genuinely believe it, and secondly because I really want Christian Titz to be the new Aberdeen manager, and that is the right decision for everyone. Everyone will be happy with that, including the Aberdeen fans, and the media will love that as well.
So, our source told us there are three names on the list, and the three names were Michael O'Neill, Alex Neil, and Christian Titz. Those were the three names. Remember in the WhatsApp group?
Yeah.
And this guy is very much involved at Aberdeen and knows what's going on at Aberdeen and has his ear to the ground at Aberdeen. It would appear as though those are the three they're going after because...
We've got everything crossed for Titz. Like, it has to be Titz. If you're listening, Dave Cormack...
They might not sign Titz because of the laugh and the jokes that we'll get from it. Maybe that
I mean,
put
that's
them off.
That's a ludicrous way to appoint a football manager.
We're not signing...
It needs to be purely... I mean, we're treating Christian Titz purely on football matters here. I think he's the best man for the job. He plays two up front. And he is... He just would fit Aberdeen perfectly.
But see, when it doesn't work, they'll go, Titz up.
I know, but that's... I think that's a risk you're willing to take. So Christian Titz is the man for me. Right, that's enough Scotland chat. You can leave your comments. Let us know what you think as well on our YouTube channel.
Who would you start?
Exactly.
Gilmore or McGregor? Shanklin or Adams?
I know I'm probably pissing...
Gordon or Gunn?
I know I'm probably pissing into the wind here a little bit, but try and look at it through a neutral perspective. Try, please. Yeah. I know it's difficult. We all have our biases. Like, everyone does. Nobody's straight down the line. But... try and look at it little bit neutrally.
See me, I'll be honest, I would probably still go with Shea Adams ahead of Shankland. And that's me as a massive Hearts fan. And I still think I would probably go with Shea Adams and then bring Shankland off the benches like a super sub when you need a goal.
Possibly.
But again, Shankland was great the other night there. I'd like to see him start against Northern Ireland tomorrow to exercise those demons of that miss against the Dutch. But
yeah.
So, can I talk about something else just now here in regards to Hearts?
Mm-hmm.
So, we signed Blair Spittle from Motherwell, pre-contract, get in. I've been saying all season that I've loved that boy. I've said to you a million times,
yep,
love the boy. I think he's a great player, and I was over the moon at Hearts signed Blair Spittle, so well done, Hearts, for that. We also signed James Penrice.
Left back for Livingston.
I'm friends with his mum. I've been friends with James for a number of years, and I am delighted for the boy. I think this will be the making of the boy. I think we've got a really good left-sided player in there. He's a midfielder and wing-back and full-back. He can put in a wicked cross. Fantastic. We've also signed Danda from Ross County.
Pre-contract.
So it's three great signings. What I'm wanting now is Hearts, please, please, please persuade Shankland to stay at the club. Because see if we can keep Shankland with the players that we've just signed. I'm saying it right now. We'll split the old firm next year if we keep Shankland. So there's the F.
Yeah.
If we keep Shankland with the business that we've done, with the squad that we've already got, we split the old firm next year. I'm telling you.
Okay. All right. No, that's up to you.
I am so excited for the new season already.
It's fine. I mean, it's just gone midday. It's a wee bit early to start drinking, Ewan. I mean, it's...
Stephen.
How many you had already?
Blair Spittle, Danda, James Penrice, and if we keep Shankland, and you've got like Barry Mackay there, that Halkett will come back from injury.
Barry Mackay.
You've got Rawls there.
Five games this season.
It doesn't matter, but he's coming back from injury. But we have got so many options and such a great depth in the squad. The old firm will be split next year by Hearts if we keep Shankland.
Right, okay. And will
so don't be putting words in my mouth.
Right, no, I'm not going to.
If we keep Shankland.
If you don't split Celtic and Rangers next season, will you let Rangers come into your dressing room and put a wee badge on the cuff of your I mean, what was that?
Oh.
I mean, I think in terms of funny things that have happened this season, that is right up there. Not only did it look shite, right? It looked like they could have just got a bigger badge and nobody would have bothered.
But was it not like a carpet or a towel?
The reaction from the Hearts fans was absolutely beautiful.
Right, you expect that reaction from the Hearts fans. You do, because...
And what... I know. I found it very, very funny. If it was Dunfermline, I would probably be going off my rocker. And by the way, if it was Rangers and Celtic came in and put a big flag over our Rangers, you know, they'd be going mental.
Yeah, fans would go.
Fans would lose their head over this. So, but it's funny from the outside just looking in.
Yeah,
and then obviously the Hearts statement as well. The Hearts statement.
Do you know the Hearts statement? It reminds me of the days of Vladimir Romanov with those crazy statements that he used to put out.
It's so funny.
I mean, I was having a laugh about it with a lot of the Rangers fans on Twitter yesterday. And then I went away and I had my tea. And do you know what I had for my tea last night?
What?
It was really, really good. I had a chilli, right? I made a chilli.
Right.
And I actually made my own rice, Paul, who was slagging me off for not being able to cook rice. I actually made rice properly for the first time. Really fluffy.
Yep.
And you leave it sitting for 10 minutes once it's cooked. Mm. You don't suddenly pull out the pot because it's wet and damp. You have to wait for it to dry out.
Yeah.
Right, anyway. So I made myself a great chilli. But what I added to the chilli was I cut tomatoes in half, and just at the end I dropped them into the chilli.
What, like raw tomatoes?
Aye. And then dropped them into the chilli, like half cherry tomatoes, and dropped them into chilli. It was absolutely gorgeous. So right, that's just
You shouldn't cook anymore.
That's just a wee tip for you next time you make chilli. So I came off Twitter.
Driving away our Tex-Mex listeners with that shit.
Right. So I'd come off Twitter after having a bit of fun and a bit of banter with the Rangers fans about the Hearts badge being covered up by the Rangers badge, etc., etc.
Did anyone call you Jambo Bear? By the way, did you see my tweet last night? I replied to your tweet saying, I'll say it once again, please don't call him Jambo Bear.
I did see that and ignored it.
What do you mean? I was sticking up for you. Uh-huh. Please don't call him Jambo Bear. He hates it.
So I left Twitter after all that was going on and a bit of banter backwards and forwards. And I went and had my chilli with tomatoes. It was lovely.
The tomatoes on it. Absolute monster.
And the Tesco blue ribbon. What's a blue ribbon thing?
The Tesco blue ribbon.
No, the Tesco brand made stuff. And it's the Tesco Doritos are amazing.
Tesco's finest.
No, it's not finest.
Tesco's smart price range?
That.
Right, okay.
Those Doritos
Tesco
are amazing.
Tesco value.
Tesco value. So the Doritos, the salted Doritos with the chili was amazing.
Right.
And I had a wee bit of guacamole with it as well. Anyway, I digress. So I went away, had my dinner.
Uh-huh.
And then I came back to Twitter after I had a shower.
Uh-huh.
Put my jammies on, went down the stairs.
Get to the point.
And then there was all these tweets. My tweet box went mental.
Your tweet box.
My tweet box.
Yeah.
The tweet thing.
Your notifications.
That notification. It was just exploding. I genuinely thought somebody died. I thought something had happened.
Right.
Went on to Twitter, and it was everybody tagging me in at the heart statement. And initially when I saw the heart statement, I thought it was probably a mocked up Hearts Twitter page. I didn't think it was the Hearts Twitter page, our Twitter page. So when I clicked on it, I was expecting it to be like 3 followers or something. Somebody was at it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the genuine football club's Twitter page that put out the statement. And I was cringing from the moment I opened up and I read it. What were we thinking? And what we've done...
It's quite funny.
What we've done, we've just reacted to the fans going absolutely apeshit. Be better than that. You're better than that, Hearts.
What would your statement have been?
No, you don't react. There's no statement needed. See, if you don't like what happened in your dressing room, then don't agree to hold a neutral cup final in your stadium. Don't do it. You can go, for example, I put up a tweet last night. West Ham versus Fiorentina, European Conference League.
Mm-hmm.
The home ground was Slavia Prague's. When you go into the dressing room of West Ham, it was covered in West Ham badges. It was covered in maroon and white for West Ham and the Hammers logos and all that stuff.
That'd have been better for Hearts though, because they both play in maroon.
Aye. So, oh, exactly. We had a problem with it.
They should have held it at Tynecastle.
So when you give up your stadium for a cup final, those dressing rooms are going to be dressed up in the colours of the team that are going to be in there.
It was very funny.
And why Hearts have reacted to it in the way that they did, they've embarrassed themselves. Let the fans say what they need to say, and they're going to say it. I get it. But then in 2022, there's a picture on Instagram of the Rangers fans celebrating winning the cup against Hibs. And there's a similar picture of the Rangers badge over the Hearts badge with the cup in the middle, and they're taking pictures of it with the Rangers team around it. There was nothing said then. So what's the difference from last year to this year? It's a joke.
It's very funny, and Hearts' statement has just made it worse. It just looked, you know, like when I first saw it, I just thought, well, that looks rubbish.
Everything looked a bit like
the Hearts' statement was rubbish. Buy a bigger badge so it covers the Hearts badge for a start. Like, that looks rubbish.
Yeah.
Like, it just all looked tin pot. And
it was just.
It was just very funny. And up until
the point that Hearts put that statement out, that's what it was. It was funny. It was banter going on backwards and forwards. But as soon as Hearts put that statement out, we then become a proper laughing stock.
It was very
because
funny.
The club officially reacted to it.
Right.
Fair play to Rangers, though, because they were asked to comment and they went, we're not commenting on that. They've just went, what would you want us to say? What do you want us to say? Hearts need to say from here on in, we don't want to hold any cup finals ever again.
Of course, Rangers never release statements about anything and everything, of course. They definitely wouldn't react if it was the other way around. No. So, I think from a complete outsider's point of view, I thought the whole situation was hilarious. And Hearts just put the cherry on top last night. Right, Championship. The race for promotion is hotting up because Dundee United appear to not want to win the Championship. They drew with Inverness on Saturday. They came from behind Louis Moult, scoring a goal from about 45 yards that in the end earned them a point. But that wasn't good enough because now Raith Rovers, who go to Tannadice this Saturday, if they win, they'll be 2 points clear with a game in hand. Ewan Cameron has assured everyone for the last few weeks and months that Dundee United are going to cruise this league. It'll be so straightforward. What's happening, Ewan Cameron?
It's a great question. Mate, it's a great question.
So, Steve Cowan, former Hibs and Aberdeen striker that we do the big Saturday football show with, describes Jim Goodwin as an unlucky manager. But is he an unlucky manager or just not a very good one?
I still think Dundee United win the league. I still think they'll do it. And this game at the weekend is the game of the day.
It's huge.
Forget Rangers versus Hibs. Forget Livingston versus Celtic. This Saturday, the big game is Dundee United versus Raith Rovers. That's going to be a sellout at Tannadice. It could be a title decider.
It's not going to be a sellout because, as you might have seen over the last week or so, Dundee United have restricted the amount of tickets that Raith Rovers can get.
Yes.
So they've given them the shed behind the goals, usually reserved for big away supports, but they've only given them 1,300 tickets, and that stand holds about 2,000.
30% less than what they should have got.
So Dundee United are, you know, playing silly buggers here a wee bit, because to relate it back to Dunfermline, we had a massive game against Dundee United when we won the league in 1996. Dundee United were favourites for the league. Dunfermline under Bert Payton and Dick Campbell went up to Tannadice. I think it was the second last game of the season, third last game of the season, and they did the same with Dunfermline. They cut the number of tickets that Dunfermline fans could get. Dunfermline won 1-0 that day and went on to win the league.
So do you think that possibly it worked in your favour, but I think it felt like you were wrong.
It'll have riled up the Raith Rovers fans. It did rile up the Raith Rovers fans because they were all going mental. And it'll rile up like
the team.
A completely needless thing for Dundee United to do. Again, we spoke to Steve Cowden about this on Saturday, former Hibs and Aberdeen striker on the Big Saturday Football Show. And he was like, I don't understand what they're doing. Let Raith Rovers sell out that stand and then beat them. That's better than restricting their tickets.
Get it up, you.
Precisely.
Send them back up the road. Ha, ha, ha.
I think Raith Rovers are going to beat Dundee United on Saturday. I think Dundee United are gone. I think they're gone.
Do you think the pressure's got to them?
Yes.
As being the big club and the red hot favourites to win the league?
I think Dundee United are gone.
So now, if Dundee United lose at the weekend, does Jim Goodwin lose his job?
I think
he does.
I think he kind of has to. Like, Dundee United should be in no way in this situation. They've chucked it away so many times. They should be well clear at the top. And I know Raith Rovers fans will probably say the same, because they've dropped stupid points as well against Arbroath and all the rest of it. But Dundee United's budget dwarfs anything in the league. Anything in the league. They're spending a fortune. They've got guys like Louis Moult, like Tony Watt, who are on massive wages.
Yeah, big money.
Declan Gallagher at the back as well. Dundee United should be cruising this league. And to be fair, we thought they would. But this weekend, I fancy Raith Rovers. I think they're going to go to Tannadice and win.
I think Dundee United will get their act together, and I think they beat Raith Rovers, and that will ultimately end Raith Rovers' dreams of winning the league.
I'm stopping short of saying Raith Rovers are going to win the league, because I think Raith Rovers actually have quite a tough running. Now, they've got a couple of home games. They've got more home games than Dundee United do, I think. But in terms of like their actual fixtures, they have Dundee United away this Saturday. Then they're taking on Ayr United at home.
They'll win that.
Ayr United pushed them very close last time at Stars Park. Then they've got Airdrie, who they've lost a couple of times this season.
Yes,
already.
And they're on a high after winning.
Then
the
they've
cup.
Got Partick Thistle. Then they're away to Inverness, who are scrapping for their lives.
Yeah.
Then they're away to Morton, who I know have fallen off a cliff a wee bit. And then they play Raith Rovers at home on the final night. They play Arbroath, sorry. I think they've got a slightly more difficult running than Dundee United.
So it's they have to win on Saturday.
And also, I think that Raith Rovers have quite enjoyed chasing Dundee United. It's a totally different situation
when you're
leading and the pressure's on you to keep it up. Now, I think it's going to be a fascinating end to the season. And fair play to Raith Rovers, because I don't think anyone had them down as title challengers at all. And whether you like it or not, Ewan, they are title challengers. Huge game on Saturday. And it's going to be one of the big
I'm
ones.
I'm really looking forward
across
to it.
Across the country. Elsewhere, Airdrie weren't playing, so Raith Rovers obviously weren't playing either, because Airdrie were winning the Challenge Cup or whatever it was yesterday. So, Morton's poor form continues. I've got a bone to pick with Jose Katongo. We'll get to that very shortly. Dunfermline winning by a goal to nil. So Dunfermline, a couple of wins on the spin for them,
obviously. Good wins, though. Dundee United and Morton.
Only a point off the playoffs now.
Brilliant.
Point behind Airdrie, but Airdrie do have two games in hand.
You have to win them, though.
Exactly, that is true. Morton have lost four games in a row, five games without winning in the league as well. Queen's Park, cracking result for them on Saturday, beating Ayr United by 2-1. I watched the highlights of this one as well. Queen's Park, it's one of those ones before they scored their first goal. The goal was coming for about 10-15 minutes before it. Queen's Park winning by 2-1. That means they're up to 7th. And the other result was Partick Thistle beating Arbroath. Arbroath are doomed.
They're gone.
They are gone. Partick Thistle are going to be in the playoffs after a wee bit wobbly. They've won their last two games. But this is how tight it is. Airdrie in the final playoff place on 39 points. Dunfermline in 5th on 38. Morton on 37. Queen's Park on 36. And Ayr United on 35. Inverness 3 points further back in 9th on 32 points. So Inverness beginning to look a wee bit isolated, but they've still got time to pull it back.
And I mean, even if Inverness end up in the playoffs, which is more likely than not, they'll beat whoever it is in the League One playoffs. Well, so they'll be fine.
We will see what happens. Right, no champagne for producer John. That's not why he's off today. But Falkirk didn't win the league on Saturday, even though they beat Edinburgh City by, what was it, 4-1.
Yeah.
But Hamilton went to Cove and won by 3-1, which means that Falkirk are going to wait until the next round of fixtures.
Which is Montrose.
Which is Montrose away from home, which is where... And there's an interesting thing, actually, on Saturday. So Montrose are hosting Falkirk, so that's obviously up Angus neck of the woods. Raith Rovers are at Tannadice.
That's
so
up there.
So there's Fifers heading up there as well. Dunfermline are at Arbroath.
That's up there.
All there on Saturday. And I think there's one other match as well.
All in the same area?
All in the same area.
All heading to the same area.
So basically, if you're looking for a train on Saturday up towards Dundee and beyond, book it now or take the car, because it's going to be carnage. I can only imagine what happens there. So, yeah, Falkirk can win the league and seal the return finally to the Championship after 5 long seasons. Elsewhere, it's all looking a wee bit tasty in terms of the relegation playoffs. There's only 4 points separating 4 teams. Celtic in 6th got beat by Annan on Saturday by 3-2, but Annan have closed the gap to just 3 points. They look done for quite a long time, but they're unbeaten in the last 4 now. Queen of the South getting a huge win on Saturday for Marvin Bartley, 2-0 winners at Alloa, and finally Stirling Albion getting a big win at home against Montrose. So Celtic Hearts on 34, Stirling on 34, Queen of the South 33, Annan on 30. And it's all looking very tight at the bottom of that table in terms of the promotion playoffs. Alloa are going to be in there, Montrose are going to be in there. Cove obviously lost on Saturday, they are 3 points behind. Right, let's move on to League 2. And as ever, we will throw over to our reporter for this. It is Mr. President, it's Joe Biden.
Hey fellas, how's it hanging, by God? Those stinny Cowboys aren't making this easy. Every week I say the same thing, or maybe that's just me. I can't believe the Spartans is really the name of a Scottish football team. I remember talking to Leonidas, king of the Spartans, when we were just little tykes, a great arm wrestler. Camilla is devastated. Stranraer are her team, and they're getting dragged right into the relegation end zone. Come on, you Blues. I don't need this shit right now. Before I go, I have a presidential promise to make. I will award you and Cameron with the Presidential Medal of Freedom if the Hearts win the Scottish Cup this season. And that's a Joe promise. Scion Aramo foes. Always drink Mountain Dew.
See you later, Joe. Lots in there from Joe Biden. So he's going to give you the Presidential Medal of Honour if Hearts win the Scottish Cup.
Okay,
always drink Mountain Dew.
Shine up that medal, my friend. Get
okay.
It polished.
Right. What are we going to do next? We will do Scottish football in the bin in just a wee second, but I think we better call Hosey first, actually. So if we can have our wee
Hosey Chant,
producer Dan.
Hosey Chant, there's a button there.
It's Hosey Chant on the thing there. So if you find the Hosey Chant, it's second from the top in the middle where the blue.
Jose,
there we go.
Hosey.
Stephen Mills angry with Jose. Well, not Jose, but his son.
Yes, exactly.
There's a reason why Jose's son has angered Stephen Mill.
Yes.
And I think you've got every right to be angry, mate.
Anyone who watched the highlights from Morton versus Dunfermline will have noticed that Morton got a penalty in the closing stages, which was never a penalty.
No.
And it was Jai Kitongo, which is Jose's son. So I've got a bit of a bone to pick with Jose.
Because he does take a wee dive. He does. He's been watching Tom Daly, and the referee bought it and gave the penalty.
Do we have Jose Kitongo, our favourite Angolan, lined up, producer Dan? Okay, here we go then. Let's give him a wee call.
Hello?
Is that Jose?
Jose?
Come on, I've been waiting for hours, man.
Oh, for hours. Sorry, did you hear all that chat there as well?
Hear everything.
So have you had a stern word with your son after he dived on Saturday to win a penalty?
No, I'm not even watching the game.
Well, you don't need to watch the game to know that he dived. I mean, it was a clear dive. I mean, you're better than that. Is this the way you've brought up your children, Jose?
Not me, never. But listen, by the way, I used to be a number one diver. See, when I come over to Scotland, somebody touch me, I'm like a roll like crazy. I'm roll and then roll back. Everybody like you dive and we...
So you are admitting to diving when you were playing with Hearts and St Mirren and all those clubs?
Yeah. Bye.
And did you win a lot of free... Did you win a lot of free kicks and penalties?
A lot of free kicks, but a lot of guys want to kill me, by the way.
Yeah. I know. By the way, like, and your son is carrying on that tradition in fine style on Saturday.
He won a penalty for Morton.
Won a penalty for Morton. Now, they missed it, so justice was done.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not... Listen, I swear, I tell you, I say that to you, I'm not even watching games. I don't know. Come on a minute, I never watch games.
Right.
Not even your son?
Even my son. I can't be... No, can't be bothered. I just feel football, not the same.
Can't be bothered.
What you got on this week, Jose? Anything exciting?
See, right now, I'm with my teacher, my yoga teacher here in the house.
Oh, your yoga teacher's in the house, and what's their name?
Listen, boys, listen, can I ask you a question? She's very nice.
Uh-huh.
Single. You think I should ask her out?
Yeah, I can hear her giggling in the background.
What's her name?
What's her name?
Lisa.
Hey? Lisa.
She's listen, she's amazing. She went away now. She's amazing. You think I should ask her out?
Yes.
I mean, if she's single and you're single, I mean, there's no harm in asking the question.
But I'm a shite bag, man.
You're a shite bag. do you want us to ask her for you?
No, I just ask you what you think about.
Yeah, no, but do you want me to speak to her and ask her for you?
She's shy.
Go and put her on the phone. She'll speak to me.
No, she's went away. She's run away.
Oh, she's run away.
She's run away. Well, I tell you what, I think this could be a match made in heaven, Jose.
Yeah.
Because then you would have a yoga teacher in your house every single day.
Tell me about it. Listen, but she's away. She went to the room. She's a dynamite.
She's dynamite.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Oh, well, maybe this is your one.
This is the one for you.
Yeah, and she's giggling away. So she clearly thinks you've got a great personality because she's giggling away in the background.
So no, I have a good personality, but my problem, I'm a shake bag. I'm so
yeah.
Right, well, you need to get over that.
Are you bendy enough for her?
I'm gonna try ask her out today.
Do it.
Okay, right.
And you can let us know next week.
Let us know next week, okay, Jose?
You just want me next week and then let you know.
Okay, buddy, okay. Brilliant. I'm looking forward to the update.
Right, all the best, Jose. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jose. Bye. Bye. Play the Jose music.
Play the Jose music.
Play the Jose music.
Play the Jose
music.
Jose.
Can I reveal something before we go any further?
Yes.
You know, Jose Katongo is quite happy to admit that he doesn't like watching football.
No.
He doesn't watch any football. Doesn't even watch his own son who plays with Morton.
Diving for Morton, yeah.
When I worked on the Real Radio Football phone-in, Alan Ruff, former goalkeeper...
This is the Real Football phone-in with Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now on 0845 100 2101.
Me, 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 me. Yeah, call me.
I'm going to tell you something.
Call me, me.
Yep.
In the 10 years that I worked with him, he hated watching football. He never watched football. He didn't watch a full 90 minutes. He'd rather just watch the highlights, see what the big decisions were. He hated going to games.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was a Scotland game at Hampden, whether it be a European game, he hated it. What is it about footballers that don't like to watch the game? Because there seems to be quite a few of them around.
Ben White, your guy for England.
Ben White as well, aye, but there's a few.
Doesn't watch football.
No, but there's a lot who don't watch football.
Yeah, but then you get the other sort of the end of the scale where footballers, that's all they know and that's all they do. They only ever watch football.
Well, here's a question for you then. And producer Dan, you can come into this as well. We work in radio.
Mm-hmm.
Do you listen to radio?
Yes. But we were discussing this recently, actually. Like, we don't listen to radio. Like, I certainly don't listen to radio as other, just, you know, general members of the public do. I'm listening to how the presenter gets in and out the songs.
As in how they get from A to B to C to D.
Exactly. So
you're listening to it with a critical ear.
Yeah, and I'm listening to the production and what songs they're playing.
Yes.
Even to a certain degree, what adverts they've got on, because then you know what clients they've got and stuff like that as well. So I listen to radio. I dip in and out. I probably listen to more podcasts than I do radio now.
Yes.
I used to.
I'm the same. It's very hard for me to listen to radio without listening to it as a presenter.
It's like,
as someone who works in the industry. Now, you'll be the same as well, Producer Dan. As a producer, you'll listen to it like we listen to it, with a critical ear.
It's like when you go to a hairdresser and you think, are they looking at my hair? Is that the first thing they look at? Yeah.
If you get introduced to a hairdresser at a party, are they actually making judgment on your hair?
They're like, somebody's fucked that. Something's gone wrong. Or if you're a chef and then you go out for a meal.
Aye.
And then you have the meal and you're like,
Is the chef critical of that meal from the get-go?
Probably, yeah, probably. I did something a few months ago. It was on Netflix. It was the Somebody Feed Phil, right? So it's like a travel programme.
Uh-huh.
And it's the guy who wrote Everybody Loves Raymond. Like, he was the writer-producer of that for its entire run, basically. And he does this travel show on Netflix. And somebody actually, it was like a Q&A style thing. I was hosting it, and it was one of the...
Was that the one in Edinburgh?
It was at the Usher Hall, yeah. So there was a question for the audience. And somebody was like, you know, you obviously did Everybody Loves Raymond. What do you like in terms of like sitcoms now? And he said, I actually find it really difficult to watch sitcoms because I know how they work.
Yeah.
And I know where things are going, where the joke's meant to be or where a joke should have been and stuff like that. Because obviously, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of it. Everybody Loves Raymond. I wouldn't watch it religiously, but it was wildly successful. So he was like, I find it very hard to watch sitcoms now because I'm like, oh, it's a bit. Like, you know,
that'll be like movie directors as well. You can imagine Scorsese sitting down and watching a movie by Quentin Tarantino and would be very critical of it, would look at it from a director's perspective and how he would do it differently.
And also, if Martin Scorsese listens to this podcast, he'll probably hear your movie reviews and go, Jesus, I mean, like,
no, he'd want to be on the podcast if it was a movie review.
That is true as well.
So, do you think that when it comes to podcasts and football podcasts, see the Roy Keane one and the Gary Neville one that you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you listen to that and get ideas from it, or do you listen to that just to enjoy it?
I listen to enjoy it because I like. I think Roy Keane's brilliant, and
but you don't listen to that ours.
It's totally different. It was funny. I was reading on a forum a couple of days ago, the Pine Bovril forum, which is sort of like general Scottish football. And there was a whole thread about the Open Goal podcast and Cy Ferry and Slaney and all the rest of it. And it was just lots of people who either like that, who love that, or hate it.
There's no middle ground.
And the other podcasts that were brought up, our podcast was brought up, Super Scoreboard, The Terrace and stuff like that as well. And the general point that sort of like more nuanced people were saying and sensible people were just like, well, if you don't like it, then that's fine.
Yeah.
There's something for you. Like, not everything has to be for everyone. Otherwise, that would be boring.
It would be, yeah.
And it would be really bland.
Yes, it would be.
So there are people who will listen to this and love it. And there's also people who will listen to this and absolutely hate it and prefer something else.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine.
And they like to tell us when they hate us.
Totally, yeah. And that's totally fine as well. But people get caught up a wee bit and stuff
too
like
much.
That. And it becomes tribal. And I'm just like, well, if you listen to the podcast, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine as well. So, anyway, how did we get there? I'm not entirely sure.
I have no idea.
Right, let's very quickly, I'll tell you about Scottish football's even greater hardest question, please. So if you can give me some question time music, that would be great, Producer Dan. There we are. The pianos are on, and it is very simple. What's the connection between Morris Malpass and Fernando Torres? Ronnie said they both play football. That is the incorrect answer. Kevin says Morris Malpass's wife is called Maria, and so is Torres' sister. Torres was born in 1994, the year Malpass first played for Scotland. Both their mums are called Martha.
Oh.
Their surnames both have six letters. They both have two middle names. And Malpass made his last appearance in the same month that Torres made his first. All of those are incorrect answers, I'm afraid. Sorry, Scottish football's even harder, greatest harder, even question goes on. It goes on and on and on and on. It needs to be the answer that I've got in the envelope, which is actually not here at the moment, but it's somewhere. And it's signed, it's sealed. Please, Somebody get this. It's not that difficult.
Well, give them a fucking clue because it's doing my boxing now.
It's...
Even I've given up on it.
So it's nothing to do with...
What?
It's football related.
Oh,
that's a clue. Because people have been... No, but it's people saying, oh, like their sisters called this and...
Or their mothers,
aye,
or... Yeah.
None to do with that.
So
none
it's a football related question.
It's a football question, okay?
Are they related in any way? Are there like the family tree? Are they related?
I just said it's football related.
No, 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 but I know it's... Oh, right.
So that would rule that out instantly, Ewan.
Okay. I need to...
What is the connection between Maurice Malpass and Fernando Torres, who I see was playing for Liverpool yesterday?
He scored as well.
So you can get your answers in at Big Football Scott for that.
Is it something to do with Liverpool?
I can't tell you.
Just answer the question, Stephen.
No!
Stop being a dick.
I can't tell you. It's football. It's meant to be hard.
This is why people don't like the podcast.
No, it's not.
It's for shit like this.
No,
because
you
just won't answer any of the questions or help you. See,
oh,
I'm a decent guy.
I said it was football related.
I'm a decent guy. If it was me, I would be giving people pointers because I'm a man of the people.
Okay, I'll give
I'm
you
like the, you.
I'll give this as a pointer. Look into the careers of Maurice Malpass and Fernando Torres.
Oh, that's
and keep
good.
It football related.
Oh,
and
that's good.
And you'll get the answer.
That's
so there you
good.
Go.
Like
right, okay. This is the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Play the second theme at the top, the purple one. There we go.
The Big Scottish Football Mills Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
It's quite interesting just directing people, even though you have, because, like, again, a wee sort of peek behind the scenes here. The podcast last season was just done in a normal radio studio.
Aye.
So I controlled all the faders and the buttons and all the rest of it. This, we don't have anything in front of us, so we need to rely on the producer.
Producers
to
doing
press
everything.
The things yeah. at the time.
And
we want.
When they don't know what they're doing, we have to direct it from here.
As you'll have seen on this episode. Right, so it's our version of Scottish Football's Room 101. We need to suggest something to put in the Scottish football bin, okay?
Yes.
So it is back. We are open to suggestions as well if we've got stuff going forward, but we want to put something in the bin, or I want to put something in the bin.
Are you choosing this week?
I'm choosing this week.
Well, who made the decision that he gets to choose what goes in the bin?
Well, we'll flip a coin. Heads or tails?
Wait, could you just suddenly made a decision?
Heads or tails?
Heads or tails,
I'm giving you the call.
Heads.
Tails it is. Right, okay, that's fine. And I would say that this is something that's been creeping into football over the last sort of 10 years. And it's not actually on the pitch. What I want to put in Scottish football, the Scottish football bin, is motivational hashtags on social media posts.
Oh, yes, I know what you mean.
For example, the first one that comes to mind, we saw one when Rangers were in Europe. It was like, together forward, or something like that. Or, be one, or as one. And
Rangers have got one just now. It's everything from everybody. Is that it?
Something like that.
It's actually quite good, though. Everything, everybody. Or everybody, everything.
And even like the hashtag, we never stop. And stuff like that. Like,
yes.
Get it all in the bin.
Oh, see,
it's naff. It's American. It's just, it doesn't mean it. Like, nobody in the stand is going in and going like, oh, what a game of the day. As one. Like, nobody is doing that. Hashtag as one.
Uh-huh. Everything, everybody.
Like, Raith Rovers one is hashtag you belong or we belong or something uh-huh. like that. And I'm just like, oh,
but
it's just naff.
We
it's
never
naff.
Stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but the one that, but actually, I might go against you a wee bit here. I like the Scotland one, which was believe.
It doesn't mean anything.
Hashtag believe.
It doesn't mean anything. It's what old people use on Twitter when they hashtag everything. Like, that's what it is.
Scotland.
It's, shite.
Hashtag believe.
Was it not this means more or something?
Yeah, there's been loads. There's been, like, there's so many.
You
of
want
these.
Them all in the bin?
Yes.
All of them?
They're naff marketing shite. That's what I believe.
But it looks good on a t-shirt though, doesn't
no,
it?
No, it doesn't.
Believe.
No, it's something that is organic. And that's where I'd probably go with a, you know, we never stop. That was organic. That came from Ange Postecoglou.
That was in a training session. It was picked up on a video camera.
So I can sort of see that, but still, like, don't use it as a marketing tool. Like, I think it is just rubbish.
You think it's naff?
Yes.
Embarrassing?
Yeah.
You think football's better than that?
Yeah.
You think that's too Americanised?
It's the Americanisation of Scottish football, and I'm standing against it. And we say that as somebody who's got Joe Biden as a League Two correspondent. Okay.
So what you want to put in the Scottish football bin is the Americanisation of Scottish football.
Yes, okay. I would say so. And the embodiment of that is the cheesy hashtag.
The cheesy hashtags.
The we belong together hashtags. The we as one.
We as one.
Forward together.
The Scotland rugby team as one.
Shite. Absolute garbage. Get it in the bin. Nobody cares. Every time I look at it, I just go, oh, really? Really? That's what should be the first contender for putting in the Scottish football bin. So you can give us your thoughts on that at Big Football Scott on YouTube as well.
Also,
a poll up as well.
Also, if you're doing that, make a hashtag for this podcast. What could it be?
No, don't. Don't. Hashtag Christian tits. Like, again, tits together.
Hashtag tits together. Yeah, I'm happy with that one.
Hashtag tits together. So, right, you can get in touch for that. And you can decide.
We'll put a poll up.
You can decide whether it goes in the bin or whatever. And we reminder that Clydeman Super Scoreboard is on every single night during the week, taking your calls on all the big subjects in Scottish football with Gordon Duncan at the helm, 0141 951 1025, and the rest of the team. And of course, on the air on Saturdays. And we're on the air in the rest of Scotland on 4th One, on West FM, TFM, MFR, and North Sound One, with the big Saturday football show every single Saturday from 2 o'clock. Myself and Ewan Cameron, alongside former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan. It is time to go to the quiz.
Wait,
everyone.
Wait.
What do you mean, wait?
Wait a second before you fire off the music for the quiz. I have an issue.
Right.
And I cannot thank the listeners of this podcast enough for bringing to my attention, and there were literally hundreds of you who contacted me via Twitter, because my DMs are always open, on Facebook, everywhere, on YouTube. You all contacted me to say that last week's quiz was an absolute shambles because I lost the quiz on one question. And that one question I lost the quiz on was the wrong answer, but it was deemed to be correct. And because of that, I lost. So thank you so much for that. Producer John got it wrong when he said that
There was five teams, and there was actually six teams with a year on it. Listen, let me just
cut. No, this is my bit.
No, but
I am sickened with this. I have had enough. Wait.
You and I agree with you.
Okay.
I'm sickened as well.
Right. I'm sickened with this because what it does, it places a huge doubt in my head about previous quizzes during the season.
No, but people would have pointed that out.
How many times have I been screwed over this season?
Zero.
I don't know about that.
One.
Last week's one is null and void.
No, well, see, this is
last
what I was
week's
say.
Quiz is null and void. Nobody's getting any points for that.
This is what I was going to say. So
I've had
I completely
it.
Agree. Like, it was nothing to do with me. No. I didn't know the answer to the
Am
question.
Am I blaming you?
I'm not saying you're blaming me. But
why are you sitting there going, oh, it was 90 day with me? We know it was 90 day with you. It was producer John.
I was getting backlash on Twitter from people. It wasn't my fault.
I know you were getting a lot of abuse about it.
I was getting a lot of abuse. It was nothing to do with me. I just answered the question and he said it was right. So I, for all intents and purposes, thought I'd won the quiz. Now, obviously, as we look back on that, it was the incorrect answer. But I think we don't want to be going over old ground and re-refereeing matches like VAR. You're a massive, massive advocate of not doing that.
Yeah.
So I think it's really harsh to go back and take the points off me. What's done is done.
No.
We can move forward with our new timing system as well.
Right.
I think
Wait. Dan.
Right.
Producer Dan.
What?
We are not doing any quiz today. And I will walk out of here and we will not finish a show with a quiz if he does not get deducted that point from last week, because I am not putting up with that shit. When it's a bit like the Grand National of 1993. They ran it for 9.5 minutes and party politics won the Grand National, only to be told in the winner's enclosure that was a null and void race.
This is not a horse race.
I don't give a shit what it is.
No.
If he does not get the point taken off him, I am walking out here now and I'm not doing the quiz.
Ewan, this is a new era, right? I don't want to think about what happened before. I'm a different host. I'm Des Lynam.
Yeah, exactly. He's taken over for Richard Whiteley.
I'm not I'm not paying attention to the past.
So you can take that with producer John when he comes up next week.
But you don't have the point from last week.
It's indeterminate. It's not up to me. I can't make that decision. It's up to producer Don. John. I don't know.
Where is he?
Producer Don's a new person.
Where is that dick?
He's busy. Right, play the quiz music, Dan. Here we go. Right, okay. It's the shootout quiz. It's a penalty shootout style. It's quiz on quiz on quiz. What are you doing?
I need a pen.
What are you doing?
I need a pen.
Looking at my answers. Have you got a minute timer? Dan,
I do, yeah.
Excellent, right.
Are we actually putting a timer on these questions?
We have to, because, like, people are losing the plot. So, I won't say what the score is, because it's indeterminate. So,
yeah. Till next week.
Producer Dan is our quiz host this week. It's back and forward until we get a winner, and then, obviously, we've got tiebreakers, we've got top bin questions that are worth 2 points as well. We need to spin or flip the coins.
Go on, tails.
I'll call it tails.
Oh, you're winning.
Yeah, so I'll go first. Thank you very much. Right, hit the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire music. There we go. Take that off.
Well, we also have the timing as well, so just bear that in mind.
Oh, yeah.
So as soon as you ask the question, get rid of the music.
Why don't you just give us a wee diddle-a-doodle-a-doo?
Give us that.
Okay, on with the quiz. I am going first. You've got your film questions. I've got my football questions. I would suggest that when you finish the question, Dan, the timer starts, okay? And that's how we'll do it, okay?
Okay, so 1 minute per question.
Yes.
Okay.
Up to 1 minute. Obviously, you can take... you can take
answer straight away.
Yes, exactly. Right, on you go.
Okay. What was the scoreline in Sir Alex Ferguson's last ever Man United game against West Brom?
It was some mental game, was it not? It was like...
Why are you asking questions?
Well, I've got a full minute to play with here. So... That's a tough question.
That's a question.
It's not that hard.
Well, I mean, it's...
Dan, you don't need to speak to him. Why are you having a conversation with him? Just the words that you say might give him a clue as to what the answer is. Just shut your face. Just because you two work together on the Drive Time show, you need to be neutral. You need to be Switzerland. Right? We're in Geneva now.
I think it was 5-4 or 5-5, and I can't remember what it was.
Going to have to press you for an answer.
I'm going to go West Brom 5, Man United 5.
How did you get that?
I watched Premier League years, not that long ago.
Oh,
you know that programme.
Oh,
that's
no.
All.
Right, come on.
Right, good start. Good start.
I think he knew that answer from the start.
I thought it was 5. I was going to say 5-4, and then I remembered it was 5-5 because I was like, I'm sure he didn't win it.
Okay,
go on.
Question two: when Inverness famously beat Celtic in...
No, that's my question. My movie question.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right. I was so up for that next question.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So I'll ask the question, then the timer.
Yeah.
What is
yeah.
the name of the younger priest in The Exorcist?
Father Chris. No, it's not Christian. Father.
Well, I mean, if he was a priest, that's a given, really. Are you going to accept, just to clarify, do we need his full name?
No, it's just Father whatever.
The answer's not Father.
He sacrifices himself and throws himself out the window. Father Christian.
You're just thinking of the overall religion there. It's a Father Islam.
Father Capridis.
That's a cocktail.
Father Mojito.
Father
Sex on the Beach. Right, you're running out of time.
Come on.
You're running out of time. Come on.
Father Capridis.
Father Capridis.
Final answer. It's something C.
It is Father Damien. Father Damien Carus.
Carus, that's what I was getting at. Carus.
Not a C, it's a K.
Yeah, but...
Right, okay.
Okay.
I've heard the first few words of this question, but I'll try and...
We then get to the crux of it.
Yeah, true.
When Inverness famously beat Celtic in the 2000 Scottish Cup, who scored for Celtic?
Is this the Supercali Go Ballistic?
Yes. I thought, no, come on. I thought that was a given.
Why, yeah. Well, if it was a given, he wouldn't be fucking asking you the question.
I watched the highlights of this game.
Of course you did.
About 2 weeks ago.
Oh, of course you did. I think you just sit in your house for a week watching YouTube videos of fucking old Scotland games.
Well, why don't you go back and watch The Exorcist? And you've got that question.
That's right. A good question, yeah. I think it might have been Mark Viduka. But then, did he get taken off at half-time?
Why are you asking questions?
I'm not asking. I'm just thinking out loud. And there's a timer, so it's quite stressful. Was Mark Viduka playing? I think, did he not get taken off at half-time or something like that? I'm pretty sure it's Mark Viduka. Mark Viduka, final answer.
Get in!
The answer is Mark Burchill.
Ugh.
Was it?
Jesus. He's very of that era.
Yeah, he is.
He could have guessed that. He was a Michael Owen for Scotland at that particular time.
Yeah.
So they believe.
He's going to Liverpool as one of their head scouts, I believe. Mark Burchill.
And Richard Hughes as
and
well.
Richard Hughes is director of football. Mm. Anyway, question number two for Ewan.
Question number two for Ewan. Ewan, I'll give you a little hint here that all your questions are horror film based.
Oh, lovely, because okay. That is one of my favourite genres.
Great. And we were talking about it at the start of the podcast.
Yes.
So, question number two for Ewan is, what was the first film to feature a toilet flush? Bearing in mind that I said there's a horror theme.
Yeah, I know. Could it be Psycho because she was in the bathroom when she went for a shower? Did she have a shit before she went for a shower? Would it be Psycho? Did she go to the toilet before she got in the shower? I mean, I normally go to the toilet before I have a shower. Because I don't have a biddy in the house.
A biddy?
It's not a bidet.
It's not called a bidet.
It's bidet.
A bidet, yeah.
Why does the UK not have bidets in their bathrooms?
It's not in our culture to wash our arses after we've had a shite.
20 seconds.
I mean, there is a famous scene in the bathroom. Could it be Psycho?
I've got no idea, Ian.
Could it be Psycho?
Right.
I can't even think of anything
seconds.
Else that involves a shower. Final answer, Psycho. I can't... Did she have a poo before the shower?
I'll be honest, I didn't go across all the details.
That's so amazing! Sure. Get in! 1-1. Right, question two for Stephen.
You ready, Stephen?
Yep.
Which former Chelsea manager...
Oh, this is question three!
Yep.
...has competed at the Dakar Rally?
Andre Villas-Boas, final answer.
Oh.
That was a buying time question.
Very good. 2-1, question three, let's do this.
Let the man speak. There's a little glitch at the end of
that. I know, I heard that, yeah.
It makes me laugh every time. Okay, Ewan, are you ready?
Yeah, go on, mate.
Okay, I'm giving you a lot of detail here. I'm giving you a lot of help in this question.
Okay.
Right. Which 2014 horror film, directed by David Robert Mitchell, features a group of young people who are pursued by a supernatural being after sexual encounters?
Is it the remake of The Evil Dead? That was
at least take nothing from that little laugh. That
I think that was around the same time as the remake of The Evil Dead, which was a Sam Raimi original from 1981.
You're not impressing us with these extra details.
Well, I am, because that is around the time of the remake of The Evil Dead, because they've just done a new one there a couple of years ago called Evil Dead Rise, which is one of the best horror movies I've seen in the last 20 years. Go on, can you just read, how long have I got left on this? 30 seconds. Go and read that question to me again.
Which 2014 horror film directed by David Robert Mitchell features a group of young people who are pursued by a supernatural being after a sexual encounter?
10 seconds.
Evil Dead, final answer.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is it?
It's It Follows.
So it is. What a film is
it? One of the most acclaimed horror films.
Yeah, I know. It's outstanding. Shit.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
2-1 to Stephen, question four.
Okay, Stephen, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is a simple one. Who won the 1989 European Cup?
between two and the two PSV and Red Star. But I think Red Star might have been 1990. It was PSV 88. Oh, see, that's the... England were banned for Europe, so it's none of them. You had Porto won it. Porto won it in 87 or something. Steaua Bucharest were 86. Oh, God. When did Barcelona win it? Is that 90?
Mark Hughes was playing.
I'm going to go for PSV Eindhoven. Final answer.
Get in!
Yes! It's AC Milan.
They won
about four around that time.
In a row.
Yeah, I thought they were later. I thought that was like...
Brilliant.
92, 93.
Right. Question four for me, 2-1, Stephen. Come on! Okay. I the tiger. Let's get this right. Come on, Dan, give it to me.
Another simple question.
You said that about the morning. I've only got one right.
What is the highest rated horror film on IMDb?
Has to be The Exorcist, is it not? Highest rated, so like...
It's got the highest rating.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Exorcist, Amityville Horror, Psycho.
Think about it.
I'm thinking about it. Who said that to me? Where'd that voice come from? Was that you, Stephen?
No.
No, it was me.
Was that you?
Yeah. We have spoken before.
See, as much as I do love The Exorcist, it's not my favourite horror movie of all time, and I've never really understood why there's such critical acclaim.
Not really up to you,
it.
Though. It's up to everyone else, because it's IMDb. 10 seconds.
I'm going to say The Exorcist, final answer.
Are you sure?
Yeah. A marshal is saved! Did I say it?
No, you didn't. It's Alien.
Oh,
a classic.
Oh, you're. I think it's got like 93% or something on IMDb. You're right.
Now, far be it from me to stick up for Ewan, but is Alien a horror film or is it a sci-fi film?
Horror, no, it's class of sci-fi
right.
horror.
Okay,
yeah, I was prepared for that.
Yeah. That's fine. You're all right, mate, with that. It's a class of sci-fi horror.
Okay. Right, here we go then. Question number five for me.
Question number five for
the wrap-up victory. Unless you go top bin.
I'll have to go top bin if you get it right.
Okay, right, here we go.
This does not include 2024. So this does not include Euro 2024.
Okay.
Germany are the nation that have featured the most in Euro's history, but which country have featured the second most?
It's not Scotland. So it'll be... Hello. Won't be England. They've missed out on a couple, did they not? Or did they? Missed on Euros in 2008. See, my Euros knowledge, like 80s and that shot. France must be about there. France. Spain. No, Spain weren't there in 92. Were they? Who was in our group in 92? USSR, whatever they're called. Sweden. No, it's Sweden. We weren't in that group.
20 seconds.
Oh, is it Italy? Italy or France? Italy won.
Hurry up! I'll go for France. Final answer.
A marshal is saved! Get in!
Yes! Jesus. Who is it?
It's Russia, would you believe? Or a variation of. So, 12 appearances. Although I do think that France or Italy will match them on 12 this year.
Yeah, they will. Yeah. Okay, so I'm just going to go for a normal question. It's still only 2-1 to Stephen, so if I get this right, we go to a tiebreak. So 2-1 it is. I need to get this right to go to 2-2 for the tiebreak. Go!
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Who is the killer in Friday the 13th?
It's Jason, isn't it? Michael Myers is where? Michael Myers is Halloween.
Michael
Myers is Halloween. Freddy is Nightmare on Elm Street. Jason, final answer.
You sure?
Why, yes, yeah.
Just making sure you're happy. And...
yeah, Jason, final answer.
Okay.
I don't like what you just said there.
You've got some more time to think about it.
Nah, Jason, final answer. Michael Myers, Halloween, isn't
20 it? 20 seconds.
Michael Myers is Halloween. Friday 13th, it's Jason, isn't it? Oh, fuck. Why are you putting it down my head?
It's a Jason Evans.
Jason, I'm going Jason, final answer. Just put me in my misery.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Stop okay. this timer.
I'm going to let this timer run out because it's dramatic.
And Marshall has saved! Yes!
It's actually Jason's mum that I was looking for because she obviously is a killer in Friday the 13th, the first one. So Jason does kill people in that series, lots of people.
But it's Jason's mum.
It's Jason's mum. If you've ever seen Scream, you'd know.
I've been done again. Just like last week, I've been absolutely done.
How have you been done? That's
done.
The correct answer.
There's a conspiracy.
There's no
against
conspiracy.
Me. There's a conspiracy against me.
Give me the Champions League.
Do you know
music,
what?
Please,
no.
Champions League music. There we go. Thank you. Yet another victory.
That was a trick question!
It wasn't a trick question.
It was
question.
A trick. There shouldn't be trick question.
That was. How was that a trick question?
It was a trick question.
It can't be.
I'm not playing this game anymore.
Like, why are you so... why do you
what's
always storm
name,
out?
What's the name of the killer in Friday the 13th? It's Jason!
Well, it's Jason's mum. Because the film's Friday the 13th. Anyway, you're taking away from what was a tremendous victory for me, where I managed to score two points.
Shut up!
And there's Ewan away. And, yeah, it's just you and me. So here we are. Yet another win on the quiz. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Producer Dan, I do think the introduction of the timer has been a bit of a game changer there as well, because we've all got life to get on with. Right, hit the outro, please, Producer Dan. And we will catch you next time on the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Lots to get through next week as well. The return of the SPFL, reflections on Scotland taking on Northern Ireland tomorrow night as well. And of course, you can leave your comments on anything that we've said on the podcast on YouTube. Just comment below. We'll read out the best ones next week at Big Football Scott as well, if you want to get us on Twitter. Remember, get your answers in for Scottish football's even greater, hardest even question. It is Fernando Torres and Morris Malpas. What is the connection? And motivational, cheesy, American-style marketing hashtags on Scottish football teams. I want them in the bin. Ewan Cameron's undecided. It is over to you. We'll stick a poll up at Big Football Scott, and we'll catch you next week on the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Enjoy your week, everyone. Ta-ta!